we've been discussing or talking about spiritual gifts. And I think we can credit Wendy with the gift of faith for asking me to do a devotional. I was telling Adele, this is kind of like asking the violinist to play piano at the concert. I don't think I'd want to go to that concert. But anyways, we will give it a shot. I've entitled this, if it has a title, How Well Are We Doing as a Church, you know, as a camp, as individuals. That song, Just As I Am, was sung 59 years ago in that old chapel. And I accepted Christ into my heart. And the overwhelming indwelling of the Holy Spirit was something I was kind of on my own, or church, being a conservative church and so on, really didn't teach. I don't know if we still do. So it's a concept, how well are we doing? You know, what are the things that we need to teach? This, I got three verses here out of 2 Kings, and it's a time when Israel is being warned, punished. God is trying to draw them back. So this comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, and some things I'd like to point out, three verses here. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. So we get a little picture of this guy. He's a valiant soldier, and he's highly regarded by his master, but he has the dreaded leprosy. You wonder, you know, we're told so very, very little. I mean, did he eat at the same table? The rest of his family, did he and his wife share a bed? So many things are not told. This story is such a skeleton. I like skeletons, but this one is beyond my liking of skeletons. But I like to flesh it in if I possibly can. And one of the key words or phrases here is, the Lord had given him victory. God was actually helping this guy to punish Israel. And this is a topic for another day or a thought for another day. And when we look at world events, like, do we see them through the thought that God is in control? That God is moving in the hearts and the minds and winning the battles? But anyways, that's really not where I wanted to go today. I wanted to have a quick look at verses 2 and 3. And it says, now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now, when you think of this little girl, the kindest, most gentlest concept that I could come up with is that, you know, somebody snuck into her house, put her under his arm and ran. And you think of, you know, David's conquests and the carnage that was there. I mean, what did she see? You know, were her parents killed? So on and so forth. We don't know that. But the one thing we do know, she's not with her parents. She's not with the people she loves. She's not where she grew up. You look at her response in this situation, And there's no anger, there's no malice, there's no hatred, and there's no fear. She actually loves and cares for this couple. I think this is a perfect picture of Jesus, of God's love for us, seen through this little child. Undeserved love. And it had been instilled in her. And again, we're not told who her teachers were. We can only guess. Did they have Sabbath Sunday school or Sabbath school? The parents, grandparents, the teaching. Like, who taught her? And we're not told that. It's kind of sad because I think we could learn a few things and ask, well, you know, are we teaching what we need to teach? And, you know, West Bank and us, we really try hard to get people saved. And I think we do a pretty good job at that. And we all have children in our lives, in our homes, Sunday school, kid club, VBS, Bible camps, and so on. And is there more that we should teach? And I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but whatever this girl was taught probably is something we need to be teaching along the way in our churches, our homes, and our schools, or Bible camps. Thinking about, well, what would this child have been taught? And so you can go through all of Moses's, the Ten Commandments, all the things, the do's, the don'ts, the things that that she would have learned about from that Jewish society. And I'm going to read to you Moses. Is it's kind of a conclusion, I guess, to a whole bunch of ways to live. So I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 4. Hear, O Lord, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. And I'm going to conclude with a little bit from Mark. Mark chapter 12. Seems like in the teachings of this young girl, she knew what was in the heart of God or the heart of Jesus. Mark 12, starting at 29, and this was the question, the greatest commandment. The most important one, answered Jesus, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And, we say that Jesus quoted this from the Old Testament, but really he was quoting himself, because if the three in one inspired Moses to write it, he's the guy who told him to write it, so, or part of it anyways. So it's kind of neat to think that, you know, everything's inspired by God or the Holy Spirit, and then the three are one. So Jesus would have been a part of this concept. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.